sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
Episode 155. I couldn't be a woman. I couldn't be a woman. The ladies will kick it, the rhymes that is wicked. Those that don't know how to be pros get evicted. A woman can bury you, break you, take you. Now it's time to rhyme. Can you relate to? A sister dope enough to make you holler and scream. Welcome, bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, aka Le Grand Papa B. Ding, 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 ding. Before I start the show, I want to inform you new listeners. Fuck it. I want to inform you. Oh my God. I want to inform you listeners that this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green. And waves a red, black, and a red, blue flag. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. I represent a hold it down for black folks who say yes to the question.
Are you an outcast?
I also represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on March 10th, 2024 at 8:25 p.m. Fuck daylight saving times. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record labeling as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. I just realized that I started the show saying fuck twice. Yeah, so much for first good impressions. All right, let's get the show started. So check it out, man, for you new listeners, just to help you get familiar. I like to break down my episodes into three parts, or as I prefer to call them, acts. Act. The first act is the intro. Second act is using random thought. And the third act is final thoughts. Get it? So in the first act, I like to do things like be properly organized, like I'm doing right now. Hold on a second, getting myself more organized. Okay, yeah, okay, all right, no, okay, quit messing around, be black. Yeah, like I was saying, in introduction, so far what I've done is I told you the title of the episode, played the theme, then told you the title of the episode, recited some poetry that's going to relate, the title and the poetry will relate to the final thought. And warning about the kind of podcast you're about to listen to. And do shit like share some history. Share some history and quote. Today's history is on this day, March 6th, 1967, Muhammad Ali was ordered by the Selective Services to be inducted into the military service, which he refused. And really, I'm sharing, well, shout out to African and Black History for sharing this. And really, the idea that I want to get across is this amazing quote saying by Muhammad Ali. like
this. I'm saying you talking about me about some draft, and all of you white boys are breaking your neck to get to Switzerland and Canada and London. I'm not going to help nobody get something my Negroes don't have. If I'm going to die, I'll die now right here fighting you. If I'm going to die, you my enemy. My enemies are white people, not Viet Congs or Chinese or Japanese. You my opposer when I want freedom. You my opposer when I want justice. You my opposer when I want equality. You won't even stand up for me in America for my religious beliefs, and you want me to go somewhere and fight, but you won't even stand up for me here at home.
Yep. You know, I think about how much courage it required for him to have said that. Because in today's age, you know, white people would have just dissed him on the internet. But back then, this was, 1967? Was this before or after? Anyway, yeah, Malcolm X, all these black leaders were shot down for speaking their mind. So, I know he took a huge risk saying that. Yeah, anyway, shout out to Muhammad Ali, as defiant as he was, and the courage it required to say this, to share this truth with these crazy crackers. That was some history. Now for quotes. Today's quote goes, "A man that inherits a car from his father has no right bragging to a man who bought his own bicycle." Simon Malunga Willa, Mwila. This quote is to heart. It's close to my heart, mainly because I every once in a while fall for the man who brags about the fact that they inherited the car, and as when I should be praising the one who paid for their own bike, yeah. Okay, the last quote goes. "Your ancestors did not survive centuries of disease, famine, war, and migration, so you could be afraid of what strangers on the internet thought about you." Shout out to Talab AC. He credits self-nourishment warrior coach for that quote. But when he shared this one, I felt picked on. Ever have someone post some content on the internet, whether it's some word of wisdom, a quote, whatever, and you felt targeted? Not so loud, but no, that was very powerful, man. And going back to what I was saying about Muhammad Ali, I wish I had that kind of courage. Hold on a second. I say I wish I had that kind of courage, but I kind of want to be at work on Monday. So, all right, okay. So that's it for the introduction. Let's jump to the second act, news and jump in. Oh my God, the second act, news and random thoughts. And before we do so, I gotta play this. Yeah, that's the sound to indicate that you're in a new act. Okay. First things first, use a random thought. First, I'm going to say, fuck daylight savings time. It's 8:30. It should be 7:30, but it's 8:30. My point is, I feel like, I'm sure every other podcast, or you've heard this, every other podcast, Facebook post, someone has already bitched about daylight savings time. Why not let another person bitch about it right now? And I don't mind losing an hour. No, I don't mind gaining an hour. It's losing that I hate. Yeah, I like it when it's fall. It gets darker quicker. That is kind of annoying. But I like that extra hour. Now I feel like my day was rushed. Anyways, in red. Okay, next item, news and random thought. I'm thinking of making this a segment, and it's called, and it's titled, "I'm Not Racist, But..." And all I'm going to say is some pure racist shit. I'm not racist. Today's "I'm Not Racist, But" is inspired by, I went to, against my better judgment, I went to get some fried, I don't know, man. I was craving fried chicken. I don't know what that was about. Fried chicken fucks up my system, but yet, I don't know, whatever. I was craving fried chicken, so I went to this spot in Ottawa. I think it's a Canadian branch. Yeah, excuse me, it is a Canadian branch. It's called Mary Brown. And I'm not racist, but it's part of it. Okay. First, I'm going to say, Mary Brown, you used to be good. Mary Brown is falling for the mistakes every other fried chicken joint makes. First, they start out with big chunk of chicken, and then once they get all popular, then the portions are smaller, or white meat has more bones than meat. Like, the quality is starting to go down. That's what I'm trying to say. Mary Brown, don't fuck me on this. Anyway, that's not why I'm talking. I'm not racist, but I'm noticing that all the Mary Browns in my town, I'm not gonna say all the fried chicken joints in my town are being run by and employed by brown people. And the racist part on my part is I'm wondering, is there some kind of conspiracy going on? Brown people in Ottawa are trying to control us blacks by owning all the fried chicken joints in Ottawa. Is that what's going on? Is this some kind of, like, are they mobilizing against us? Then one day, they're going to say, hey, you want this fried chicken? You'll go fight this war for us. And this concludes, I'm not racist, but, yeah, okay. All right, no, that was a terrible joke. I don't know. A part of me was, as I was driving home with my Mary Brown, I'm like, I wonder if there's a bit in here. I wonder if I could make a joke out of this. And now that I said it out loud, it sounds more silly than it is funny. But whatever. Who knows? Yeah, who knows? It might be a bit. Don't steal it. All right, okay. Okay, let's get more serious here. Okay, next on the docket, on the agenda. Oh, right, okay. I initially wanted to play the content creators' TikTok page, but I couldn't find it. But I think it's very important that you know the name of this content creator, and it's Brian. Excuse me. Let me make sure I get this right. It's Brianess. Let me see. Let me load it. Oh, she calls herself B. Oh, that's amazing. That's cool. We should be friends. Okay. Yeah. First of all, okay. Before I play this content, I want to get their name right. Yeah, Brianess, B-R-I-A-N-N-I-S-S-S. Okay, all right, opinionated, Zillennial pop culture lover. Okay, all right, now I got that out the way. Let me play her clip, and I will comment on it afterwards. Here we go. Yeah, so this is a stitch incoming to someone talking about. You know what? I'll just play. Here we go. Oh, sorry, it's loading. My apologies. It's loading. Here we go.
I really think white liberals are starting to shit themselves after last night's Michigan primary.
So I just want to say that I was really contemplating whether or not I should stitch this video, mostly because I can see the comments now about me being confrontational and argumentative, and that's not the case. I just personally don't agree with being likened to a white liberal because I have general concerns about my welfare going forward in this country if we have to endure another Trump presidency. Right. Because I see people saying we survived it once, but almost a million people didn't. Mm-hmm. And I completely understand the thought process that Joe Biden has left people behind, the government doesn't care, and that the genocide going on right now has a lot to do with the United States and our complicity in sending them money over the past 75 years. I completely understand that. But my question is to specifically leftists, what is the plan going forward? Mm-hmm. What do we do in a time that we are ushering in fascism, when we have things like Project 2025 and conservatives rolling back rights left and right? What is it that you're going to do? And what is it that you're going to do specifically to help people that look like me who are going to be disproportionately affected by it? Because I see a lot of people saying, well, we need to be uncomfortable. Well, I've been uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I've been uncomfortable in the fact that I'm scared to have children one day because maternal mortality rates for women that look like me is leagues higher than it is for any other group of women in this country. Really globally, it is actually sickening. Infant mortality rates are also very high for Black babies, and that worries me. You know, I see so many Black women who go to hospitals to give birth and they don't walk out with their children because of medical racism. And we have legislation that was just passed for that, but I guess people don't care about that because it was just for Black women. I don't know. Black people specifically have fought tooth and nail for the civil rights of everyone. And if it starts being rolled back, who is going to be at the front lines? Because being completely honest, I don't see Black people really wanting to have to do that again after people threw them under the bus and not caring about the way that we would be disproportionately affected by this country going to hell in a handbasket. So what's the plan?
What's the plan?
Okay. You vote for a third party candidate who will not win because they're not on enough ballots.
Serious.
Leftists don't turn out to vote. Statistically, they don't. Republicans do, and older liberals do, but you need to be coming out to every single election when you can, and enough leftists will need to, specifically the white ones who still have the right to vote, you know, if anything goes down, are they going to be on the front lines to make sure that we're ushering in a new progressive era? Or is it going to be like 2016, where everything goes to hell in a handbasket, and then you blame the liberals because, you know, you didn't get what you wanted, and then it's up to the liberals to try to make things right again? I just want to know what the plan is going to be, because I don't think that I can handle losing every right that I have in this country in hopes it'll help another group of people when we know that it won't.
Okay. Now, the reason I played this this clip is sorry, I'm listening to my I'm reading my notes. It's not my handwriting that's bad. It's okay. Here, okay. The reason I played this is, well, first of all, no, okay. No, I am not an American. I am not eligible to vote in the American election, but being that Canada is part of being Canadian is talking about part of the Canadian identity is talking about what our neighbors to the south do. But let's not kid ourselves, man. White supremacy is a factor, is as much as a problem in Canada as it is in the States. Like, they're linked. They're linked. There's a lot of white supremacists in Canada who really want, who would see it as a win if Trump were to win. But my point, or I think where I want to touch on, is this notion going on for people. And this, I guess, this might be a problem with democracy, a bug with democracy, or this is a thing about democracy is, because we have this in Canada, is because I didn't get what I want, I'm not voting for this guy anymore. Okay, maybe that's not it. I'm thinking of, okay, what bothers me is on my social medias, there's a lot of leftists who post shit, who they enjoy posting shit about stupid shit Trump or one of his followers just did. Oh my God, they're so stupid. I hate how, or Jon Stewart destroys a Trump supporter. And what gets me is, I think it's this notion. Okay, maybe I should have written this down. Okay. What gets me is this notion some leftists seem to have, like this moral superiority. I am superior to these people because I'm smarter than them. Because I know better than to look at an eclipse with my bare eyes. Or I know better than to drink ivermectin to deal with COVID. I listen to science. But here's the thing. I guess I'm dedicating this to the leftists who told themselves either I'm not voting for, who bought into the whole I'm not voting for Biden, or I'm not voting, period. If you're one of those, then you're no smarter than a Trump supporter. As a matter of fact, they're smarter than you. Because they might do all the dumb shit, but they show up when it counts. You not voting is not fucking, look, you not voting is exactly what Trump needs you to do. Because he knows he's in the party of dumb ideas. He's in the party of unpopular ideas. Like, it's not, I don't know what you call that level of charisma, but it's not charisma he has. His supporters are followers or cult followers. He's got them. And it's not the majority of the country, but he's got enough of them to show up to a voting booth. And as long as you motherfuckers don't show up, guaranteeing him a win. Look, man, I was really pissed when he won that election. You know? Because part of it was these white liberals had me convinced that, yeah, man, fuck, man, these Trump supporters are stupid. These Trump supporters are stupid. I wasn't paying attention to the people who were like, yeah, but what about Hillary's an evil politician? What politician ain't? Okay, getting back to her point, what I love about what she was saying, and it's, what's the fucking plan for it? Like, I understand you have a problem with the solution, but what's your fucking plan for it? Like, if it's not Biden, what are you proposing? Because right now, unfortunately, in this election, this American election, despite the fact you people are so used to having so many options, but when it comes to president, you only got two fucking options. And sitting one out, you just decided for the other guy, for the guy you don't want to win. I don't know. You know what? I think I'm frustrated at the people falling for the okie dokie, falling for the okie doke. I'm not going to vote. Oh, man. Okay. Just, you might as well vote for the other guy. In Canada, in the last election, see, I guess part of being black in these countries is, unlike your white counterparts, country folks, what was that noise? Unlike your white country, you know, shit is dire for us. The election is between the white person who pretends to like black people and the white person who, fuck that, man. As soon as I get a chance, I'm putting you all on a boat and sending you back to Africa. But my parents are from Haiti. I don't give a fuck. Figure it out once you get there. Anyway, yeah. Anyways. I don't know. It's really privileged. It's very privileged to be the part of the population who could say, you know what? Doesn't matter who wins. Actually, the only difference between one guy and the other guy is how much angry typing I'm going to do on the internet. That's all I'm going to be affected by. Okay. Again, if it's not if it's not Biden, who then? And I say this because the same way in the last election, I voted liberal. I really wanted the NDP to win, but I knew these motherfuckers did not have a fucking chance with all that hippie shit. Like, I was that. I didn't have time to dream. I didn't have time to be hopeful. No. I wanted. Don't get me wrong. I understand. I hate that we are in this situation that we could only pick between two. Maybe that's the improvement we need to make on democracy. I mean, it's better than dictatorship. It's better than the old days where, you know, the people with the most guns get to decide the direction of the country. No, you get to vote. But unfortunately, you got to learn how to be more strategic with your shit. Unfortunately, we're on the side who you got to vote just so the other person doesn't win. And God forbid you show up to vote and you still lose, and fuck it. It's like at least you get to say that you went out fighting. Anyway, okay. Anyway, yeah, man. This, it's a pet peeve, man. I'm gonna leave it. Oh, right. I put a little note. I put scary movies. Something about scary movies. I was going to make a bad joke, an analogy. Like, when I'm watching scary movies, and the person with the plan says, okay, here's the plan. We're going to get out of this safe corner that we're in, and we're going to have to walk to the car. I'm like, fuck that. Stay in the safety. Oh, my God. Okay, no, the point I'm trying to make is the person in the scary movie who usually has the plan, and it involves doing some shit that you don't want to do. My point is, having a plan to do something, Having a plan is as good as it gets. Yes, voting for Biden won't cure cancer, won't solve all the problems. But voting for Biden won't make the fucking problem worse than it is already. I guess that's how I look at it. I don't know, man. I know I'm preaching to people who don't want to vote. And I remember when I wasn't the voting type, and ain't shit you could tell me to get me to the voting booth. But I tried, man. Yeah, man. Get out and vote. Bottom line, get out and vote. Get out and vote. I'm not telling you who to vote for. I'm saying don't kid yourself. Get the fuck out and vote. Because at least, yeah. Because the other thing, too, is when these motherfuckers start seeing that, holy shit, the majority of the country voted, that's when they're like, okay, shit got real. But they know, they, oh my God, they've got all these, okay, I'm done, that's it, okay. Because I'm looking at the timer and realizing that I got more things to cover. Okay, this next clip I'm going to play is an example of how I don't like using the N-word in front of white people. Like, I don't kid myself. Like, I imagine there's a white audience, there's a white person listening to this podcast. And to you, I tell you, I don't like using the N-word around white people because it confuses them. It's like, so it is legal. You know, I just don't like using the N-word around white people. But every once in a while, there's a fucking exception. And today's exception, his name is Mark Morrison. And I'm going to play a clip by him. I'll get to who he is. Oh, he's a candidate. Okay, crazy video by HuffPost shows newly nominated North Carolina gubernatorial candidate Mark Morrison. And you know, who he is not as bad as what the bullshit he just said. So here we go. Okay, I'm going to comment on that after. So here we go.
What America are we going back to make America great again? The one where women couldn't vote or black people were swinging from trees? I would say to him, if I was standing in front of him, I absolutely want to go back to the America where women couldn't vote. Do you know why? Because in those days, we had people who fought for real social change, and they were called Republicans.
Motherfuckers give... You know. Nara, okay, I initially was thinking of deleting this shit from my item because I hadn't. Why am I giving props to this motherfucker? And I'm realizing why I shared this is because I wanted to put my thoughts in the comment section, but I got way too emotional. But yeah, okay, so getting back, what I was trying to funnel, if I was able to get a grip on myself, what I would have written is, fuck that nigga. No, I would have said, you know what? Okay, no. This is why I have this clip for. Before I continue, this is why I have this clip for.
Shut your mouth, Kane, bitch.
All right, talking to Mark Morrison. Yeah, you Kane, bitch. All right. Okay, we know what kills me is when people like him have the nerve to praise the people who fought for the liberties that he's enjoying now and telling and then using that liberty to say we don't need to fight anymore. It reminds me of joke, but reality is like every immigrant wants to be the last one to close the door. It's like you get into the country, and once you're in the country, then you're all on this anti-immigrant stance. I mean, I'm sure, you know, it's not just black people who do it. You know, women have their sellouts. I'm sure gay people, member of the LGBTQ community. You know, if you're a marginalized community, I'm sure you have your sellout. But yeah, man, fuck Mark Robinsons of the world just want to say what white people would want to hear. Okay, I don't know him personally. For all I know it, this shit might just be an act. This Uncle Ruckus shit pays bills. This Uncle Ruckus shit is going to get me elected. It's going to make me a member, a representative of Congress. Or he really believes that shit. But, you know, I'm not going to waste some time on hell. It's just, I think the one thing that bothers me is the people who, like, close the door on progress. It's like, yo, thank you for the work you've done, Martin Luther King, but now I'm going to tell these black folks there's nothing to fight about. Anyways, yeah, man, that dude's full of shit. I hope he better not, he better not win, but, you know, this is the United States. Right now, I'm kind of worried of that Trump wins. So, yeah, that's all I got to say. You know what? There's an article that will be in the show notes, and it's titled Mark Robinson's Bizarre Ramble, I Absolutely Want to Go Back to America Where Women Couldn't Vote. And I didn't read it. Yeah, I don't, you know what? Yeah, I'll read it later. You know, there'll probably be more details about this guy. But yeah, man, that's some crazy shit, bro. All right, okay. Next item on the... okay, this is, I guess, news, little personal update for me. I finished the Godfather audiobook. And fuck, man. Oh, my God. I really enjoyed it. I came to praise it. It was... Well, first of all, I make no apologies for doing an audiobook, okay? Where was I listening to? Someone was like in African tradition, the way they passed on history was through the art of, what do you call that? For using speech technique, using, griots and, they used the spoken word to pass on information. My point is you can be a person who reads or you can be the person who listens. I'm in the category of people who listens. All right, sorry. This is me getting defensive about the fact that I listen to audiobooks instead of reading it. Two, Godfather was, oh my, okay, so every once in a while in my audiobook collection, I'll find a book that, oh my God, that's amazes me, that takes me through, like I went through, how do I say this? Not breeze through it, but I went through it. It was an enjoyable read. That's what I'm trying to get at. I'm still trying to make sense of what made this more enjoyable than the rest. But yeah, 18 hours. Yo, that shit just flew by. And I can't wait to find another audiobook. The last time I enjoyed an audiobook that much was Game of Thrones. Don't get me wrong. No, okay, the fiction ones. I like history and shit like that. Oh, the one that Grant... Ulysses Grant, the biography on Ulysses Grant, that went by quick. Well, my point is, I had to go to Godfather because a lot of the books that I have in my audiobook collections are like history or just about, you know, black people know. Basically, they're fucking depressing. So I needed something that just allowed me to distract myself. But okay, the point to this, to me putting this on the agenda was more to say that I enjoyed the Godfather book. And I really like the how it had me thinking a lot, like self-reflection on how I still look at, how do I say this? I still see, despite being the person that I am, I still see the ability to being a violent person as a good thing. Okay, that's not what I'm trying to say. Not just a good thing, but something to... A part of me wishes... It's a curse. I'm about to blaspheme what I'm about to say, right? But every once in a while, my weakness, my toxic trait is the fact that if the universe... God, whatever, at the beginning says, hey, I'll tell you what, I'll take all the current talent, we'll take everything that makes you unique, we'll take it away, and we'll trade it for something else. What would it be? And if they said, and I'd be like, yeah, strength. I want to be able to kick somebody. I want to be a fighting type. I want to be a Don Corleone type of thing. What I'm trying to get at is reading that book had me reflect a lot on how much I admire that kind of person, the Tony Sopranos of the world. Even though the Tony Sopranos, the Michael Corleone, are fictitious being, and I'm better off being who I am than Dick writing these fictitious characters. You know, I guess I'm saying I have an admiration for people like that. I used to envy people like that, but now I know that, no, it's just a trait. We all have our qualities, and we have, oh my God. I think I really enjoyed reading the book because it allowed me to reflect on the concept of power. There we go. Oh my God, that was a difficult point to make. Yeah, it allowed me to reflect on the concept of power. I also enjoyed how at the end there's a, at the end of the book, there's, what do you call that? Sorry, I'm trying to like set a timer here. Okay, boom. There we go. Call me in 10 minutes. All right, yeah. So what I enjoy is that final thought that Mayor Puzo at the end of the book, not Mayor Puzo, his son. And he talks about how, I'm trying to do him credit. Okay, how, yo, sure, he wasn't trying to glorify the mafia, but he did say that, look, mafia might be some bad people, but the fucking business folks in Hollywood are just as bad or even worse than those guys. He talked about how, poor guy, but he just, I guess he there's something he said that made me think that, yo, before we give these movies an Oscar or, Best Picture, I want a breakdown of their finance. We should do that. That should be part of it. And if anyone in there got ripped, if any artist got ripped off, fuck you, you don't deserve Best Picture. Like, I don't like the idea of a movie that I really enjoyed and then later finding out the writer got paid peanuts or got played by the executives and got paid peanuts. Yeah, I hate that shit. These motherfuckers are trying to make a profit. I don't like the idea that on the way for them to make a profit, someone in the production, in the creation area, had to get ripped off. Yeah, that bothers the fuck out of me. Anyway, yeah, no, Mayor Puzo, I think I'm going to learn more. I need to learn more about this character because he was a fascinating writer. And there's something about reading the book that fascinated me with the art of writing. Which brings me to my last point on using random thought. Just had a thought where someone on the highly sensitive person subreddit wrote a post about how they can't cry. And it had me thinking about how I struggle with crying. Well, okay, it's not that I can't cry. It's more that I can't cry and not feel shame at the same time. I'm saying that's my toxic trait. I'm working on it. That's as I'm trying to leave the, when I tell you that I'm an ex-member or I've left the cult of masculinity, that's what I mean. I'm trying to let go of my old ways. And one of them is this belief that boys don't cry. Excuse me. Yeah, I'm still working on it. Fucking several therapy sessions. One of my friends is trying to take me to go see a movie. And I watched the trailer. I'm like, yeah, there's no fucking way I'm leaving that theater without crying. Like, I would need to see this movie with my therapist. Because with my therapist, she created like this, what do you call that? This safe zone to cry. Because I tell myself, as much money as I'm paying this lady, if I can't cry here, where the fuck can I cry? At the very least, I should be able to get away from the therapy session is the right to cry. And not feel shame. Oh my God. Okay, where I'm going with this is, just had a thought, and I'm wondering if there's a connection with my inability to cry and write. That's really where I was going with this. That's what the title says. Inability to cry and write. But I just clarified that it's not that I can't cry. It's more that I can't cry without feeling shame. Actually, because of that, shame is what stops me from crying. Like, there's like an automatic mechanism in my mind that, oh shit, we're getting ready to cry. And cry equals looking like a bitch, so don't do it. But yeah, I wonder if I was able to cry, whether I would write more. Because there's a lot of things that I want to write about. And but the problem is, as soon as I start writing or try to organize my thought, it's the ADD kicks in, and all of a sudden I'm staring at a blank page, and my brain is like, "What? Why? What? Why are we doing this?" It's like it's a painful problem. It's like constipation, man. I wish there was a laxative. Is that what you call it? Laxative for writing. There we go. And I'm wondering if it's, as soon as you can get yourself to cry, then you'll start writing. Anyways, to be continued. Leave that as to be continued. So this concludes Using Random Thoughts. Let's jump to final thoughts and get the fuck out of here. All right, let's go. Okay, all right, final thoughts. Before I start final thought, I'm going to play this clip that might make sense. Before I explain, yeah, what's up with the title? Before I continue final thought, I'm going to play this clip that could have been in the intro, but I decided to share it here because it's going to be part of my final thought. So here we go.
Baby, it is that deep for you. It is that deep for you, and that's okay. It's okay that you feel things so deeply. It is okay that things land so hard for you. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you are surrounded by people who don't know how to hold your softness. I'm sorry that you're surrounded by people who don't know how to hold your tenderness. I'm sorry that you are surrounded by people who invalidate just how big and soft and mushy you are. And it is that deep. And I want you to lean into that depth of the way that you feel life. It is that deep for you. And that's okay.
Shout out to life coach. Connie. Life coach. Can I? Goddamn words in English. K-H-A-N-Y-I. Yeah, shout out to her. That's the content creator. As always, links is in the show notes. I guess playing this is my way of saying I make no apologies for overthinking, for being emotional, for looking into things the way I do. So hit that said, I needed that support. What's up with today's title? Is that what I call it? Yeah, what's up with the title of today's episode? All right, I could not be your woman. Oh, I could not be your woman. I could not be a woman. All right, no, that was not, my intention is not to be disrespectful to women. My intention with that title is more to acknowledge the challenges, the bullshit women go through just to exist in this society. The more I am aware of it, the more I'm like, yeah. Like, there's this joke on the internet or this common question on the social media is, what's the first thing you would do if you woke up being the opposite sex? And my answer is, kill myself. I don't want to be the opposite. I don't want to be a woman. And I'm not saying this as a woman. I'm saying I don't want to be a 48, 49-year-old woman. God forbid I'm an attractive 49-year-old woman. God forbid I'm going to, an attractive 40. It gets even worse. Why? Because I know how men think. I know every small. I'm thinking of this one time I was on the bus with a friend of mine. And I was oblivious. And she was sitting across from me. And she was looking away from some dude on the bus. I wasn't paying attention. But it was a dude who kept trying to make eye contact with her while smiling. And she was trying to avoid his eye contact. And I remember, it's not that I was oblivious. I was like, what the fuck? What? Like, I didn't realize for her it's, I trust my gut. What's fucked up is I knew that dude's smile was not well-intentioned. I mean, he's smiling not because he's trying to, not because he's like, hey, let's be friends. He's smiling because I want to consume. I want to put my face in them titties. Yeah, she was an attractive woman. I should mention that. She was a curvy woman. But I could tell that look on his face is that dude had. Again, I should mention this was during my unenlightened days. And I think maybe my presence was the only reason why he didn't act on his impulse. He goes, fuck, is that your boyfriend? That's not your boyfriend? All right, I'm in. Whatever. Yeah. What I'm getting at is Back then, I was oblivious. But now I get it. I'm like, yeah, no, run. No, fuck that. That dude does not have any good intentions for you. No, that smile is the smile of a predator. I'm not saying dude is a predator, but I'm saying, yeah, that dude is looking at her like a wolf is looking at food. And that's part of the reasons why I couldn't be a woman. Now, okay, I should mention that, the verse that the poetry that I recited earlier on is from the rap song by Queen Latifah featuring Money Love, Ladies First. What's interesting is initially I was thinking of playing Black Woman by Jungle Brothers, but then I'm like, it reminded me of every rap song. It reminded me of a time when I realized that hip-hop is not friendly to women. Hip-hop is misogynist as fuck. Hip-hop is like, it's a boys club. That's pretty much what it is. It's a macho boys club. And I realized that because, in my show notes, there's a link to the ladies rap tape mixed by DJ EZLD in the Old Testament edition of Shut Up Podcast, i.e. the older version of the previous iteration of Shut Up Podcast. Him and I, we got together. Oh, okay. I guess I was getting more enlightened because I was recognizing International Women's Day, and DJLD, he's like, he makes mixes for fun, and I told him, hey man, we you know what, just in a way of recognizing International Women's Day, how about we make a mixtape? And I remember giving him a long list of names. Okay, that's not the point. My point is, while trying to find titles to put on his mixtape, it hit me that, wow, fuck. The biggest realization I made was, damn, hip-hop is unfriendly to women. Even on the mixtape we played rap song by women, but I think DJLD put in his DJ skills, because part of him is he wants to make a mixtape that sells, but he wants to make a mixtape that people are going to bump. Like, he knows, he's the guy who figures out that, if I make a song about eating your broccoli, I still got to make it dope. So there's some songs in there by Jay-Z, towards the end, Jay-Z. But I think his intention was, I'm going to play songs that women like to hear in the clubs. But with that said, I'm listening to the lyrics and I'm like, fuck, hip-hop is really not friendly to women. So that's why picking a rhyme for this episode was difficult. And I ended up with going with Ladies First, because it reinforced the idea of, for me, it reinforced the idea of, yo, lead, follow, or get the fuck out of the way. From what I've learned about women and our men's relationship with women, when I say men's relationship, I mean the toxic aspect, the real, how, if you go by the rules of toxic masculinity, if you go by the rules of the cult of masculinity, the relationship, we are encouraged to be toxic to women. And in my, as I continue my journey to be more self-aware, shit like that, I'm realizing that, yo, you know what women want from us? To get the fuck out of their way. Lead, follow, or get the fuck out of their way. Part of lead, follow, get the fuck out of me, it means hear us. We're aware of the problem. Women need men to listen to them the same way black people need white people to listen to them. And it's not a order thing. It's more, look, if you're really serious about helping us out, here's the problem. Yo, this system is designed in a way that, the thing is, the people who rule us, figured out that, they outnumber us. The only way we can keep control over these people is if we keep them separated. And the best way to keep them separate, let's keep them separated by gender, let's keep them separated by race, let's keep them separated by what's the word? Heteronormal. Let's make heterosexuality the standard, the default, and everyone else will consider them freaks. Like keeping immigrants to people born in the country, like keep them separated. Yeah, you know what? If I could disappear, it's because right now I'm saying the realest shit ever said. Anyways, getting back to my point. Yeah, the only thing, the best thing a man could do for a woman is get the fuck out of their way. Listen and get their fuck, because they got to figure it out. Part of getting out of their fucking way is doing things like not putting a woman in a situation where she's got to explain that feminism is not being anti-men. If you're one of those guys, then you're anti-men. Now, okay, I forgot to mention, what inspired today's title or this theme or today's final thoughts is two things. One, I was at work this Sunday. I was at work on Thursday, and the sister, the black woman, I do not know her in the office. I do not know her. But she was walking around with these big, well, not big, but African earrings of Africa. These two earrings in Africa. When I saw that shit, I felt like making eye contact and raising my black power fist to her. I felt like saying, yo, my sword is your sword. Your problems are my problems. The reason I say this is because it's for the first time, one of the rare times at my work. See, I work in a sea of white people. I work with whiteness. And her doing that, it's not that I felt like our blackness was being acknowledged and our blackness was being seen. I felt like it was me and her. And I don't mean that in a romantic way. I mean that in you're not alone. When I go into work, I'm always in survival mode. Now, I don't blame, I shouldn't blame, it's not just white people, because I get into survival mode regardless of the people that I'm around. But in that particular situation, her with those earrings, it just reminded me, it just made me feel like it's going to be okay. I got you. You're not alone with these crackers. Now, what's funny is, I didn't get a chance to talk because I was with my colleagues and she was working with her people. And I'm not trying to make a big scene, do a black power fist and scare her coworkers. I know better than that. But I do need to acknowledge what she did and say, yo, I really appreciate you doing that. Now, it's funny. What's fucked up is she might just done that for decorative reasons. But I took it as a call to arms. It's the equivalent. It made me feel the last time I was in the States. I used to live in the States. I was there for 2 years. And at a certain point, I got homesick. And but if I would hear someone with a French-Canadian accent or was wearing a something Canadian, like, you know, a Canadian hockey team jersey or anything, even Maple Leaf fans, if I saw that, it made me feel like at home. It made me feel less homesick. So I wanted to hug that Canadian person. That's my point. Her doing that, I'm not saying I wanted to hug her, but I'm saying short of the black power fist. And it was my way of saying, yo, anyone fucks with you, they fuck with me too. And if I need to cry because someone called me nigga, I'm going to be to you, whatever. No, I'm just, you know what I mean? It just made me feel, her doing that reminded me of all the times black women have stood up for black folks, not just black men, black folks. It just reminded me of the value, how it reminded me of the greatest ally black people have is black women. Okay, let me rephrase it. The greatest ally black men have is black women. Mainly because they're stuck in the trench with us. They're getting shot at the same time as we are. You can bitch about them all you want, but those bullets are coming towards both of us. That's what makes them an ally, because they're also a target. Now, they can do the Candace Owens thing, but, you know. But you're still a target. Okay, whatever. Okay, that's not my point. The second reason I just realized that I'm going over time. The second reason why the title is March 8th was International Women's Day. And I was thinking about how, the person you're speaking to is a lot different than the person I used to be. Duh. There's something about me that I feel like, not just grateful, but I am very, I'm a big fan of women. And I don't mean this. Now, usually when a heterosexual says that, it's usually a pornographic way. No, it's more, I have an appreciation for women and the shit that they go through. I mean, I'm defiant to the rules of masculinity, because in the cult of masculinity, you know, you're not supposed to show any respect to women unless you're trying to bang her. But I have like an appreciation for the opposite sex. And it's hard for me to explain it, because I feel like I'm surrounded by a bunch of guys looking at me going, you trying to get some pussy? Is that what you're trying to do? No, I have a genuine interest for women. As a being, as the way they go through life. Now I'm not okay. I'm gonna make myself laugh. I'm dick riding women. I don't want to be a woman, but I am in awe of womanness, of the concept, the idea of what it means to be a woman and the shit. How they survive in our world. Like, I'm fascinated at the women who, during the Civil War or any war where they weren't allowed to fight in, I'm fascinated by that, those women who pretended to be men to fight in a fucking war. I think a lot of this came from people like, what's her name again? The clip I just played there about enjoying your, not softness, it's life coach, women like that, who've made me feel like it's okay to be you. Now, I am not saying there aren't men who aren't like that. I'm saying on my journey into being the person that I am now, on my personal journey, the men have been, yeah, be your bitch ass niggas. And the women I've come across with, okay, I'm generalizing, because sure, there were some women who were dismissive of the kind of person, but for the most part, it was usually a woman like life coach Kanai, yeah, that's us, Kanai. People like that who are like, no, it's okay to be you. And I guess that's why it's like close to heart. Another reason why I'm, what's inspiring today's thought is I found myself wondering, how would I explain a woman's worth or why we should listen to women to a dumb male? And when I say dumb male, I really mean my younger self. How would I communicate what I know now to my younger self? And I'll be honest with you. It's not going to be easy. It would not be easy. Because back then I was, again, that's why I call it a cult. The cult, I was a student of the cult of masculinity. And it's hard to, if you've seen anyone who's part of a cult, it's hard for them to break away from that cult. So how would I have gotten through? The reason why I came to mind is because I remember I was at work and I felt like saying Happy International Women's Day. But all I could think about is the dumb males who would respond with, oh, how come there's not a day for men? Or, hey, you try to get some pussy, nigga? and it's not something I'm trying to preach. It's more, I'm being genuine, you know, Happy International Women's Day. You know, hope, let's acknowledge the women in our lives or not in our lives, or the women who've done great things or whatever. Let's just take a time to say, we respect you. We appreciate you. Let's just take that moment to say shit like that. I wanted to do that, but I was more worried about it being the negative response to it. Anyways, so yeah, it put me in a situation like if I had to explain my admiration to a dumb male or to my younger self, how would I go about it? And I think I would just, I don't think I'd be able to, okay, I would probably start with the fact with how things changed for me when a lot of my male friends got daughters, had daughters. I knew it said gave birth. No, the mother of their child gave birth to a girl. And all of them, without fail, all of them, when they had their first girl, their first daughter, all of them, without fail, we all made the same joke. I'm going to buy a gun because all of us thought about, holy shit, what it means to be a man and the kind of man this poor girl will likely come across. The kind of men who are probably like us. Or that dude I talked about on the bus there. Like, all of us, for that split second, none of us had the idea, not all men. No, no, no. none of us were thinking not all men. All of us were thinking it's like, oh, man, this poor girl, holy fuck. God forbid she meets the younger version of me. That was the moment, I would say, that was the moment when I started to let go of the crazy shit that I was taught, I was programmed to believe as a member of the cult of masculinity. Yeah, and the second thing is, I would try to explain how misogyny is real. It's not a word that, misogyny is as real as racism is, or negrophobia is. But no, honestly, if I couldn't reach with those first two things, I think the one thing I would say is explain how, yo, this society divides us and conquers us. That hatred that you have for women, okay, because back then I didn't see it as hatred, but I would say that your incentive to listen to women would be so you two could become allies against the real monsters, against the real demons, the real evil, the real people who are fucking you over. It's not the girl who said no because she won't fuck you. She's not the bad person. It's the guy who's trying to get you to buy Axe body spray. That's who you should be against. Yeah, you know, it'd be a tough journey if I had to try to explain feminism to my younger self. But with that said, going back to the title of today's episode, yeah, man, again, by me saying I could not be a woman, it's not meant to be any form of disrespect. It's just more of the shit that you go. Yo, look, man, I'm struggling. It's hard enough being a black guy. Like, I'd be lying to you. Okay, and that's what the Barbie movie was about. I'd be lying to you if I told you that I didn't cruise off these male privileges. Yeah, man. Especially, God forbid, a hot chick? Oh, man. Every dude is trying to stick it in me? Yeah. You know how I know dudes are shitty? Is because be around a guy that's awfully nice to you. What's your first instinct? Either one, there's two kinds of men. Two kinds of men when it comes to men who are being kind to them. The first kind will take advantage of their kindness. The other kind, which I'm falling in, my first thought is, you trying to stick it in me? Is that what you're trying to do? You trying to play me, homie? Yeah, I get suspicious around kind men. Whether that's a problem of mine, I'll deal with it at some point. Anyways, yeah, long story short, happy belated International Women's Day. And I say that to both men and women. All right. With that said, this concludes today's episode. All right. Not bad for someone who didn't think I'd have anything to say. All right. Like always, I'm going to remind you that if you go to the show notes, the links to The stuff that I covered on this episode is in the show notes. There's a fourth section. Fourth section in the show notes called Other Links. And that's just a bunch of cool links that I put in to articles that I think that might interest you and whatnot. Okay, with that said, this concludes today's episode. If you want to holler at me, you can do this via social media on Twitter, Instagram, Threads, using the handle @ShutUpPodcast. On TikTok, it's @ShutUpPodcast.com. But if you're really serious about getting in touch with me, if you want to find me on the internet, go to ShutUpPodcast.com. What was that? I said ShutUpPodcast.com. One more time for the powers of three. I said ShutUpPodcast.com. That's where you can find me. There's all the information you need to get in contact with me. But email address is ShutUpPodcast411@gmail.com. Shout out to you old school folks who still use emails. Apparently, that's what, emails is like an older technology. You got emails, and then you got Facebook. All right, okay. You can subscribe to this podcast using the RSS feed that's on the website, or go to most of the places on the internet where you can find a podcast. All right. Thank you for listening, seriously. And please remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. All right, peace.